2 weeks from the spring election, and you're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking with the two candidates vying to be the next state superintendent of public instruction. That's Wisconsin's top education official. We last spoke with these candidates in January ahead of the primary when the field was narrowed to two. How do you feel about the State Department of Public Instruction, DPI, these days? What should be a priority for Wisconsin's next state superintendent and how the agency operates? It's 800-642-1234. So each candidate will get half of the hour, starting with Deborah Kerr, former superintendent of the Brown Deer School District in northern Milwaukee County. Deb, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's an honor to be here.
Why do you feel you're the better candidate here for state superintendent than your opponent in this race, Jill Enderle?
Well, I've dedicated the last 40 years of my life to education. I'm parochial educated and public school dedicated for the last 34 years. I've worked in all sectors. I taught in a private school. I organized a 4K charter school. And I've been a state superintendent in Wisconsin for the last 20 years. I have rural experience as an education in a small rural school in western Kenosha County, 4K through 8th grade, Wilmot Grade School, and then experience in a very urban district, Brown Deer School District, for the last 13. I also have unique experiences at the state and national level. I've been an elected president, not only for Rotary in the North Shore, but our state superintendents association, as well as our national superintendents association. And so I've had experience of working with legislators on both sides of the aisle, not only at the state capitol, but also at Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. Go ahead.
Yeah, Deb, I'm wondering, what would you do in your first days on the job? What would you set your schedule like? What would you prioritize?
Well, this is so important that we support all of our kids getting back to school. Our parents are angry and frustrated that not all of our schools are open 5 days a week. And so my team and I will be boots on the ground, making sure that we're supporting all school districts so they can reopen safely and make sure they have all the resources that they need. Because this is our moral imperative. Not all our kids are getting a high quality education right now. In fact, our Black and Brown kids are all in virtual for the most part, while the other students across the state of Wisconsin, mostly their white classmates, have been in school since September 1st. So this is deplorable that we are further exacerbating the inequities that already existed.
Well, before we talk more about achievement gaps, let's look at the pandemic. Should the state require all schools to start earlier than normal next fall to make up for learning lost during the pandemic?
Absolutely. That should be a priority. I know that each local community will need to make that decision for themselves. But I think the problem has been there's been such a lack of meaningful leadership from the local, state, and national level is that the Department of Instruction has to be an agent of change, an agent of innovation, and an agency of support. And that's not happened over the last couple of years.
What do you mean by that? And, you know, an agent of change, an agency of support. How do you do that?
Well, the Department of Public Instruction needs to become a more customer service friendly agency, not a regulatory and compliance organization. And that's been the problem over the last couple of years. We just don't have that responsiveness that our customers need and to serve all the stakeholders across Wisconsin, not just those that live in Madison. So I have a plan to decentralize the Department of Instruction so that we can be more responsive in each school district and have more of a boots on the ground approach to serving our clients.
If you're just joining us this hour, we're talking with each candidate running for state superintendent on April 6th. Now it is Deb Kerr we're talking with, former superintendent of the Brown Deer School District. What questions do you have for Deb? What do you want to know about her qualifications, her positions? How do you feel about DPI right now? What would you like to see change at the agency? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@wpr.org. Deb, looking at funding here for a moment, should schools that do provide in-person instruction in the pandemic receive more state aid than schools that are now providing virtual or hybrid instruction?
First of all, I know that all of our teachers and our educators are working as hard as they can, but there is this perception that those people who are not in face-to-face instruction are not doing their job. And I believe it's just because there's just been this frustration that we are not all back in school when the science specifically says, and the research says that it's safe to be back in school. Our kids are not spreaders of the disease. Our school leaders and school boards have been planning all these scenarios to reopen safely. And so we need to get back to business. And so I believe that's why there's just been this frustration that we need to reopen our schools now.
Do you think that, you know, some Republicans are proposing ways to pressure schools to return to the classroom? One would require schools to pay the parents of students learning virtually. Another would limit funding for schools that don't provide the in-person instruction option. Do you support either of these ideas?
Well, again, like I said, it's really the state superintendent does not have the authority to mandate those kinds of things. But if we could just get back to school, we need to open up our schools. We have to stop letting the teachers union determine when our schools should open or not open. You know, other schools across the country have reopened. And like I said, our most vulnerable and marginalized learners are still not back face to face 5 days a week. This is a travesty.
You mentioned the powers of the superintendent. You know, in this role, you do have limited powers. You're limited. You have to work within the budget and the laws that are established by lawmakers. So how would you use this position, you know, within its powers to be able to be a change, to be a change maker?
In my first 100 days, I would meet with all the legislators and with my team to say, here's our vision to create a world-class education system that is the highest performing in the country. We need to get Wisconsin off the list of having the worst achievement gap between Black and white students across the country. I would talk about our plans, our goals, and I would want to work right away from day one on policy, on how can we move our state forward and get off that list and move to the top of that list of having high expectations and high achievement. It's going to take a lot of work, but I want to be a respected advocate in the legislature, one that they come to me for educational expertise and advisement. And I want to work collaboratively with both sides of the aisle. And that's the only way we're going to get anything done.
You're talking about this achievement gap, this terrible distinction that we lead the nation in having the largest gap between Black and white academic success. Our current state superintendent, Carolyn Stanford Taylor, says Wisconsin's achievement gap, it's a crisis. What do you see in your track record that shows you're ready to address this crisis on day one?
I'm the only candidate who's had experience of turning around a district. The Brown Deer School District is a district of 80% students of color and 50% economically disadvantaged. And we worked together to address the achievement gap. We acknowledged it. We didn't blame anyone for it. No teachers, no students, no families. And we said we can do better. And we put targeted resources and we started with reading. We got back to the basics using phonics. And that's what I would propose statewide, because right now we have 400 different ways of teaching reading across the state. And our teachers need more support in aligned resources and curriculum and assessments to make sure all kids are reading at grade level. And in Brown Deer, we did just that. Over the last 5 years, we have an increased trajectory of raising achievement, closing the achievement gap, and also having close to 100% of graduation of all students in their career in Brown Deer. And so we're very proud of that. We still have work to do, but it can be done. And the things that I did in Brown Deer can be scalable across the state.
Deb Kerr is with us, running for state superintendent, formerly superintendent of the Brown Deer School District. The spring election, by the way, is in 2 weeks. We will talk with candidate Jill Underley in the second half of this hour. What do you want to know about Deb Kerr's priorities for public education in our state? Are you an undecided voter in this race? What issues do you consider in state superintendent elections? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up with Deb Kerr in a minute here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for candidate conversations leading up to the April election. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're focusing on the two candidates who are running for state superintendent. Wisconsin's top education official oversees DPI, which manages the public school system. They set priorities in two-year budget requests. They manage the private school voucher programs, distribute grants to school districts. How do you feel about the state DPI? What would you like to see change at DPI and how it has responded to the pandemic? Join in 800-642-1234. We have candidate Deb Kerr, former superintendent of the Brown Deer School District, with us for 10 more minutes. Deb, I want to address a criticism. During your time as Brown Deer superintendent, you discovered a business manager had cost the district hundreds of thousands of dollars, lost government aid, missed bills, late tax payments. But you called this person a, quote, good steward of public funds in a recommendation letter. And your opponent has cited this case to criticize your campaign. What is your response?
I've been a superintendent for 20 years and in education for almost 40. And anyone who has experience in employment law and contracts would understand that personnel issues are very complicated. And to make these kinds of accusations are unfair. In fact, this is a criticism of my community at Brown Deer and my leadership. I would have never been a superintendent for 13 years in Brown Deer if I didn't handle that properly and working alongside with my school board. So I'm very disappointed that her team has decided to put all this money into attack ads using dark money against me. And we're using it as a way to move forward and motivate our base. And that's exactly what's happening.
Let's bring in Denise from Viroqua with a question. Hi, Denise. Go ahead.
Good morning. The question I have is, how do you plan to address the inequities in diversity in our teaching force? As a white teacher of 30 years, we are the majority. About 82% of the teachers are white females. And what is your plan to bring in and create more opportunities for teachers of color to be a part of our system? Thank you.
Thank you, Denise.
Thank you, Denise, and thank you for your 30 years of service to our children. Exactly. This is what we have to do. We have to be very intentional about recruiting teachers of color, and I did that just as Brown Deer. I tapped on the shoulder of paraprofessionals who I knew would be great teachers, and I helped them with their coursework, and we paid them during student teaching so they didn't have to quit their job to in order to get this teacher license. I also think we have a great opportunity in our high schools because teachers like you can encourage our students, the best and the brightest and our students of color, to go into the teaching pipeline. So I would like to create an academy just like the business and marketing and architecture academies that we have for career explorations in our high schools that will do just that. I also know that the UDW system is very committed to recruiting more teachers of color, and we need to do that all across the state, maybe using Educators Rising or Grow Your Own programs that are customized for each individual school district. So thank you for that question.
When you look at the funding situation, you know, you and your the other candidate support boosting state aid for special education. State Superintendent Carolyn Stanford Taylor requested a $370 million increase in the state budget. Governor Evers is proposing nearly double that amount. What amount do you support for special education?
As a former instructor of school finance, I have worked with students and aspiring superintendents to talk about this very issue. If we can get higher levels of reimbursement for special education, this could be a win-win for everyone. So higher rates of reimbursement for special education mean that we can free up money from the regular education fund to distribute to other needs or other programs. And so I don't think the state budget goes far enough. In Brown Deer, we had submitted a resolution of 90% reimbursement to our legislature for their consideration. So if you look at the history of the state, they have fallen short of their commitment to two-thirds funding for special education. And I would like to see more at 90%. And so as the next state superintendent, I would work over the next couple biennial budgets to get to that point so that we can serve our most vulnerable and marginalized learners.
Yeah, I mean, can you translate that? what would two-thirds funding mean for schools, mean for school districts across the state?
Well, the state has always made this commitment, but for some reason they've fallen short. And I do understand that we have to balance what we can afford. But I also think as the next state superintendent, I want to do an equity audit. I want to make sure we're spending the money in the right places, because sometimes just investing more money doesn't get the outcomes that we're expecting or aspiring to. And so I want to make sure that we have set metrics using the money in the best ways possible to get our return on investment.
We're talking with each of the candidates running for state superintendent on April 6th. Deb Kerr is a former superintendent of the Brown Deer School District. We'll talk with candidate Jill Underly next. You can join in. What decisions by our state superintendent have you supported or disagreed with? Are you an undecided voter? What do you need to know before casting a ballot? 800-642-1234. Deb, you talk about balancing what we can afford, especially in the area of special education. Do you support increasing aid for schools if that would mean, you know, raising sales taxes or raising income or other state tax collections?
I think it's important that we realize that this legislature wants educational reform, but also they want to keep the taxes low. And so we've got to balance that. And so we've got to make sure we're putting the money in the right places to serve everyone, all the stakeholders in Wisconsin. And so I don't want to just ask for additional money without the promise of how we're going to get better outcomes, because that's been the problem. We can't just throw money at the achievement gap without having a plan, a strategic plan on how we're going to get better outcomes. And my literacy roadmap will do just that when we invest in teaching the basics of phonics and making sure that all kids have opportunity for growth and improvement.
So I would assume that then reading and literacy would be an area, a categorical aid area, you know, that would be a high priority for you as you look across the board at where you would put your dollars.
Absolutely. And I would work closely with the legislature to provide incentives in policy that would help people decide, well, do I want to do this or not? Because there are some wonderful reading programs going on across the state, and there are some school districts getting great results, but the majority of the kids are not winning in the area of literacy.
What would incentives and policy look like to you?
Well, one of the ideas we can learn from other states like Mississippi and Florida, who have a very high upward trajectory of achievement for all the kids that they're serving in their states. And so that could look like instructional coaches, more high quality training, not only for teachers, but for principals and superintendents. And it's going to take some time, but we need high quality resources and we need alignment of practices to be successful.
In terms of early childhood education, what is your vision for 4K? How would it be funded?
I love early childhood. We all know the investment in early childhood pays off tremendously in the long run. I've been able to start 2 4-year-old kindergarten programs, both at Wilmot Grade School and at Brown Deer. And we need to provide as many opportunities, birth to 3, and then from 3 to 3rd grade, especially in the area of literacy. But we need to make sure all of our kids are being taken care of, their social emotional needs, their mental health needs, that they're being fed well. And so this is going to require partnerships with local organizations such as Boys and Girls Club, YMCAs, local churches, high quality before and after school programs. So it's not just a school district approach, it's a village approach, because our schools are the centerpiece of our communities and we're going to need to work together to recover from this pandemic.
Let's talk about the private school choice programs, the 4 separate private school voucher programs. Your opponent, Jill Underly, wants to freeze enrollment in the programs. And you've talked about evaluating vouchers, bringing people to the table to talk. But what is your end goal on whether the private school voucher program should expand, should stay the same, should stop? Where are you at?
I trust parents. I believe that all parents should have the liberty to choose their own circumstances. And I think my opponent is being very disingenuous. She sent her children to private schools, and then she wants some of my Black and Brown parents not to have those same choices in their local neighborhoods when they don't feel their public schools are adequate. And so, again, this is a 40-year-old problem. Let's put it in the rearview mirror. Let's try to work together to build some consensus, because I think it's possible. We need to figure out the question should be, how can we offer high quality education for all students in the state of Wisconsin? And then what does that look like? What does accountability mean? What are those metrics? And then how do we pay for it? And I think that needs to be the leading question, is the how do we get a high quality education for all kids in the state of Wisconsin? Because if we're going to create a world-class education system, we that is the highest performing in the country, we need to all be on the same page. High tides raise all boats.
Deb, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much. It's been an honor, and I hope that the voters make an informed choice. If you look at my resume, I have all the qualifications and am uniquely prepared for this job. I want us to get back to school.
Deb Kerr is former superintendent of the Brown Deer School District. She's campaigning for state superintendent of public instruction on April 6th. Just ahead, our candidate conversations continue with Jill Underley. What do you want to know about her priorities, her qualifications or positions? What decisions by our state superintendent have you supported or disagreed with? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up after a news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.